book, huh? We shall commence the Pali chanting. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapamadatthana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now you chant the Padipa puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapadithena dipena tamadang sina diloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacana motamang Vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi pudang pusumena nena punena matena ca hotu mokhang Pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bhavang adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bhatte pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bhatte bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya Patikanhatumutamang. Now we are chanting the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Offering of significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Bedang pujemi. Damang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. Okay, you can put that. Then also we need to rejoice with the offering that came in later. Let us rejoice. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay. For those who just came in, we had this new book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. You can collect them in front. Whoever who don't have, come. In front here. Yun-chan. Han. Take. No problem. You take, Can I take? Yeah, can. Yeah, Mimi, take for Chua also, your son, your two chai chai. We still got, don't worry, just take. Take four, yeah. Can, no problem. Okay. Now, Hong, Hong, go get a quick put line. We still have, don't worry, Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. Sadhu. Yeah. Okay, sadhu. Yeah. Yeah. Jin Hao Gia. Oh, she passed to you, Okay, we can off the light. That you all can have half an hour. Take. Then you all can have your meditation. We will allow half an hour. Today is the 1st of August, 2017, Tuesday. So we will be having the meditation. After that, we will continue with our sharing of the Buddha and his teaching, the text by Narada, Venerable Narada. Okay. those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who are enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Yeah. Then page 6 of the chanting book, we shall do the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakawalesu atraha gacchantu devata saddhammam muni rajasa sunantu sakamokkhadam dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta namo atassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa namo atassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa namo atassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa iti peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati Swakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko Ehipaseko opanayiko Pachyatang veditatbo vinoheti Supatipano bhagavato savakasango Ujupatipano bhagavato savakasango Nyayapatipano bhagavato Savakasango Samichi Patipano Bhagavato Savakasango Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savakasango Ahoneyo, Pahoneyo, Dakkeneyo, Anjali Karaneyo, Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Pajam. Eh? Padang Pajami. Damang Pajami. Sanghang Pajami. You can be seated. Then we will continue with our sharing of the text on the Buddha and his teaching. We are at page 47. Then as we discuss, somebody gave a very good suggestion. I think from next Tuesday onwards, we will get every Tuesday two persons to share and lead the Dhamma discussion. But from now onward, it's all on the teaching. And these teachings are quite easy. They are the basic teaching of the Buddha. So next Tuesday, who you all want to nominate? The two persons. It's very simple. You don't have to worry. You go back, you make sure you read through the next chapter that continue from where we stop. Then you all can discuss on who to start. Then support each other as the discussion go on. Then maybe you can separate into half session you share, the other half the second Kayanamita share. Then you can help each other. Then we can also, I think, if you want to, we sit in a circle. This is what we used to do in the early days. I think the early 80s. They call this the what? You attended before, not? Don't know what? Ling. The ling. It's we all sit in a circle. Then somebody will take over and lead every week. Will be a different person. Then you just can read from the text. Then use whatever your understanding to explain. Then open up for discussion. Then the rest, you can question the two person. Then whatever question you all want to ask, you can ask. Then the two person will have to try their very best to answer. It's like you prepare yourself to share. It's a very good exercise. Then, of course, I will also help out. You don't worry. Then anybody who has any understanding, you can also raise your hand and share your understanding. And through this, as you go along, you will understand. It will become very interesting. Then you will fight to lead. So next Tuesday, who you want to nominate? Or volunteer, ask for volunteer first. You will learn a lot, I tell you. Who wants to volunteer? Where is Mimi? Oh, Mimi is still meditating. So maybe be assigned to the son. Chachai, you and your mom. You go back, make a note. If we stop at page 50 onward, we will continue. Okay. So, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So now we already have two. Next Tuesday, we will let the two nominate another two. So you cannot run. Then if you volunteer, then no need to nominate. Easy. Okay, turn to page 47. Can, no problem. You should ask. Oh, I didn't receive.
No,
I did.
Because I just emailed early.
Okay.
I didn't have time, so I didn't have time to
Okay. My phone is there. Jinhao, get my phone. Off the switch first. Then off the charger. Because my phone was almost out of battery. You can read. Read it to me.
Because very long, so I thought you can read. You can see better.
I will try to see, but you read it first. Okay.
Dear Brother Teo, one of the night while I was in a hurry driving to attend a class, suddenly I saw a little frog crossing the road. My first thought is emergency brake.
Yes.
Then the second thought is that I can turn the car a little bit to avoid.
Yeah.
I followed my second thought and passed through the frog under my car. On my way back home, I purposely drove past the road to inspect whether if I accidentally run over the little
frog. Yes.
So after that, I did a little bit of contemplation.
Okay.
So there are three scenarios.
Okay. Oh, very good.
So scenario one, while driving on the road,
yes,
you just check your rear mirror.
Yeah.
There is no cars behind you.
Yeah.
Suddenly, there's a dog
out
from the side of the road.
Yeah, yeah.
So the contemplation was, should I put on an emergency brake to save the dog?
Okay.
Never mind, if I don't have to brake, if I kill the dog, I don't have intention to do so. So it's not considered killing.
Okay.
Scenario two. While driving on the road,
yes,
you just check your rear mirror, there is a motorcyclist following very close behind
you.
Suddenly, there is a dog run up from the side of the road.
Yes.
Then the contemplation is, if I put on an emergency brake and I save the dog,
yeah,
but the motorcyclist will hit me from behind and will cause him injuries or maybe death.
Okay.
So I may save the dog but kill the motorcyclist.
Yes.
If I don't brake, I will kill the dog but I didn't cause any harm to the motorcyclist.
Okay,
scenario three.
Yes.
While driving on the road, you just check your rear mirror. There's a big lorry following very close behind you.
Yeah.
Suddenly, there's a dog run out from the side of the road. If I put on emergency brake, I save the dog.
Yeah.
But my life will be in danger as the big lorry may completely smash up my car. And so I may save the dog but kill myself.
Okay.
If I don't brake, I will kill the dog, but I didn't cause any harm to myself. So from the karma point of view, so how would these three scenarios, right?
Very good question. Okay, so I think all of you heard the question. So this is a question about karma. But what I would like to put it is, put it the other way around. With the understanding of the Dhamma, how would you act under these three scenario or situation that is more important than the sadha? Means, after you have understood the Dhamma, you will know how to act. If you just want me to give you the answer, then you will never learn, understand? Your action is based on? Based on what? Action is based on what? Understanding, very good. Was it your mom? Queenie, see, your mom very good, she learned very fast. So, all action always remember based on understanding. Understanding means wisdom. You have to act with understanding. You don't act according to memory, conditioning, views and opinion. What you have asked in the question is, do you observe one thing? There is a lot of memory question inside there. Knowledge, understand? If I do this, this will happen. That is your assumption, understand? That's what your thought tell you. Then how do you decide? Based on that knowledge, you will act in a... Of course, you can try to act to be religious, spiritual, understand? Like, never mind, my life not important. I break, the dog safe, I die, never mind. You can, through your thought, interpret it that way. Or sometimes because of selfishness, you will say, I cannot brake. If I brake, the motorbike will be in trouble or the lorry will smash me up. So what is happening? What is happening in your mind? You are calculating. Understand? And that is not pure action. That is not true action. True action is through understanding, spontaneously, you will know what to act, how to act, and what to do. But if you through this knowledge, then let's say I equally gullible, I tell you how to act, you know what will happen to you. No? Hey, brother, you say one no. Then you quote me. Hey, brother, you say, don't be foolish. No? You're for my mind very important. No? Yeah. If you have to, the dog die, never mind. Then I get into big trouble, you also get into big trouble. Then what happens, every time when you are faced with a situation, you try to recall to memory. You know? And this is not the way to act. This is what Krishnamurti said, acting according to memory is not acting at all. So now the question is, how should you act? I write a the whiteboard. This is how you learn. Otherwise, everything that you do is no different from the normal human being or Puttujana. Those who don't have the Dhamma, they will use knowledge. They will use their views, opinion, and idea to act. So first, we need to establish what is action and how do we act. So how do we act? So this is a very important question. Okay. The first thing we understand is acting according to memory. That's why now this will become very clear. To memory is what? Is not acting at all. You have to understand this, understand. Why do we say that? Why do we say that? Why is it if you act according to memory, you are not acting at all? What is memory? What is memory? Of course, memory is of the past. What else? Memory is the accumulation of... What is in your memory? Accumulation of all your past experiences, good or bad. Understand or not? Then when you accumulate them, what happens? What do you do with this memory? When you are faced with a situation, that's why I say most human beings don't know how to act. First thing they do is they recall through memory. Yeah. Then this memory with its views and conditioning, belief system, will act accordingly. And that is not wisdom, you know. Right? What you have accumulated is most of the time negative. Even positive also got craving. Negative means what? In your memory, what do you carry? Just now we already say all of your experiences, good and bad, from the past. We start with bad memory first. What are they? Your fear. Your anger. Hatred. Phobia. Insecurity. Security. And anxiety, etc. ETC, etc. Then what else? What else? Your attachment, your joyful moment, your happy moment, your peaceful moment, and all this become attachment. Do you understand? Whatever that you hold on to dearly, that memory becomes your attachment, your clinging. So all this, including your attachment, attachments, happy moments, craving, etc. Etc. So all these are with the evil root. Do you understand? The greed, hatred, and delusion is there. And normally when you act, there is this egoic mind behind. It's always selfish. You understand? For me or not for me. Even just now in your question, when you reason, even though you bring up the point of karmic, point of view, how should we act? Yeah. So what you are trying to ask is, according to the Dhamma, the Buddhist teaching, as a Buddhist, as a cultivator, how should we act? True or not? That is the question. But people do not understand this. That's why they act according to memory. And yet they thought this is the Dhamma. That's why the world has a problem. A lot of cultivators and Buddhists has a problem. You all can follow. If I understand this, means all of my action, if it's out of fear, belief system and all those things, phobia, all these are born of the evil root. Means my action is not true action, not pure action. Sometimes it's selfish. Sometimes it's delusion. I act out of fear. I act out of greed for merits. Understand? Like you see a monk. Oh, I must make offering. Yes, meritorious. But because behind your thought, make offering, dana to a monk, is meritorious. So your action is actually conditioned by your greed to have that merits. And that is not acting at all. Because true action is without the evil root. So, how you should act is, when there is condition to act, you act, understand? Like you see a monk, or somebody tell you, oh, there is this monk coming from where? Oh, you should rejoice, understand? But there is condition to act, and say, thank you so much for informing me. I will try to join you, I see how it goes. Then, if I have the condition, I will inform my other Dhamma friends. If they want to come along, they come. So this is no more like desire, craving to do. So that is one aspect. The other aspect is, having understood that memory has this problem, your memory is of the past, it's not spontaneous, not the immediate action. Spontaneous means yoniso manasikara. You know what is yoniso manasikara? Yoniso is wisdom at the moment of attention. Manasikara is attention. So when you act with wisdom, there and then at the moment, that form of mind will know what to do. Because there is wisdom behind the action. And that wisdom never carry any evil root. It acts according to wisdom. So this first point is very important. Then the second point is, you should act according to wisdom. You should act according to wisdom. When you act according to wisdom, means what? This word, make sure there is no evil root, understand? And what is wisdom? Wisdom is an understanding where you cannot learn, understand? You have to awaken to it. You have to have the understanding through your cultivation. The first turning, second turning, and the third turning of the Four Noble Truths, the three types of wisdom. Suttamaya Panya, born of the first turning. Chintamaya Panya, born of the second turning. Then Bhavanamaya Panya, wisdom born of Bhavana, which is the meditative training, the third turning. So, you should act according to wisdom. So what is wisdom? To have wisdom is to cultivate what? The meditation as taught by the Buddha. And what is the meditation as taught by the Buddha? Yeah? You cultivate according to wisdom, which is the Noble Eightfold Path. Noble Eightfold Path. This one you have to develop it, understand? Reflect, contemplate until you understand. Then meditate until you awaken. Then this understanding, which is wisdom, acting according to understanding, which is wisdom, will arise. And this one is free of the evil root. Yeah. So this is Pure action. Pure or true action. So all action born of wisdom and understanding is true action. And true action, according to the Buddha, is you follow the Noble Eightfold Path. If you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. It will not lead to any karmic negativity. The Noble Eightfold Path is basically the meditation as taught by the Buddha. And you check all the eight path factors, they consist the advice of the Buddha. If you want to avoid all evil, you must have Noble Eightfold Path. Otherwise, you cannot avoid all evil. If you want to develop the virtue, the wholesomeness, you have to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Can you follow? Yeah? Then if you want to purify your mind, again, you have to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. And basically, what is Noble Eightfold Path? Noble Eightfold Path starts with right view. Right view with regards to what? Yeah? There are three very important spiritual laws. First one is, as brought out by May, yeah? Law of Karma. Okay? So that is the first right view you have to learn. You have to develop. That's why you have to contemplate. Why did the Buddha say this is a spiritual law? This is a very important spiritual law. This is the first right view that I must have as a Buddhist, as a cultivator, as a follower of the Buddha. And if you want to understand this law, you have to reflect. What did the Buddha say about the law of karma? What are the things that the Buddha said? Huh? Every day you have to contemplate. The fifth contemplation. What is it? He said, we are all, regardless of who you are, whether living being, animals, non-human, devas, or whatever, you are all born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. If you understand this truth, what must you do? Means, after reflecting on his word, you realize, all of my life depend on karma. Our life. Because we are all born of it. We inherit everything. And we are conditioned and supported by this law of karma every moment, every instant. And we are what we are. Every moment, every instant while we are in this existential world. This refers to the form of mind. Do you understand? So, if you want to have the good life, what must you do? You have to take care of. That's how the teaching come about. From the first right view, you will know, if I don't take care of karma, I will suffer. Well, my life depends entirely on karma. And because of that, the Buddha continued to say, there is this moral causation. You reap what you sow. Do good begets good. Do evil begets evil. If you plant the seed of evil, that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, suffering will follow you, like the wheel that follow the hoof of the cart. Means, whatever that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, will lead you to karmic negativity of suffering. So, having understood this, then we will have to inquire how to act. If you act according to memory, the evil roots are there. They lead to negativity of karma. Your life will be affected. So this right view is so powerful. And when we understand this, we will understand why the Buddha advises us to avoid all evil. Because if you don't avoid evil, you cannot avoid negativity of karma. And once karma come about, you reap what you sow. You plant the seed of evil with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Suffering will follow you. negativity of karma will follow you. Then when you come to this world, you are born of it, had the condition and supported by it, and you are what you are because of it. And whatever evil things, negativity that you did to people or other living beings, when there is condition, it will manifest, and you will be the victim, because you reap what you sow. So if you plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. So to live life, we have to avoid all evil. That's the reason why we have to keep our precepts. We have precepts, the basic five precepts, they constitute evil. Because if you check the five precepts, who are the ones that kill, cause harm to fellow living beings? Evil people with delusion, with greed, with anger, with hatred. They kill, they harm. Then who steal and misappropriate things? Greedy people, selfish people, deluded. Again, the evil root are there. Then the third precept. Who are the ones who commit sexual misconduct? Lustful people, selfish people, deluded people, who do not value their family unit, the harmony and the peace within the family unit, because of some cheap thrill or lust. They are willing to allow their whole family unit to suffer, to become miserable. But when you break that precept through your own selfishness, lustfulness, it can bring about a lot of suffering, misery, leading to all the separation, the misunderstanding, the hatred, and all those things. So again, foolish people, deluded people, selfish people, lustful people, they break this type of precept. Then the fourth precept is telling lies, speak harshly, backbiting, say bad things about people. Who will do that? Who will tell lies to deceive people, to cheat people? Deluded people, selfish people, ignorant people. That's why the evil roots are there. Then who will partake the intoxicant and cause your consciousness to fall? Again, deluded, heedless people who do not understand this teaching, couldn't careless. That's why they are heedless. They do what they like to do through their own delusion, ignorance, selfishness, and emotional negativity. They are willing to harm, kill, and break all the other precepts. That's why they just want to drown their sorrow or unhappiness by taking intoxicant. They think by taking intoxicant, they can forget about their problem, their sorrow, and other things. So this is how the precept come about. So to avoid all evil, the first guideline is to avoid all these precepts. Avoid breaking all these precepts. Then how do you do good? How do you do good? You have to train your mind to be ever mindful, to see this evil root. Then you have to learn to understand what constitutes evil. And you have to go into the teaching. What is greed? It's a very wide definition. What is anger, hatred? It includes envy, jealousy, the slight unhappiness, the aversion, the pleasant and unpleasant sensation. These are part of the sensual desire and ill will, the evil roots of greed and hatred. Then delusion are all your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your phobia, your lack of understanding of this nature's law, the truth. So all this, when you understand, then you train your mind to be mindful, then only you can keep the precept. Then only you can arise the four right efforts. First right effort is to abandon those unwholesome actions, speech, and thought that has arisen. Then the second right effort is to prevent them from arising when you already have the understanding and the wisdom. And the third right effort is what we are doing, how to develop goodness, virtue, kindness. We have to arise the right effort to cultivate the right thought, right speech, and right action that is still not in you. And you have to understand what constitutes right thought, right speech, right action. Then only you know how to act and develop all those virtues. Then when you start to understand this virtue, when you start to see them unfolding, you can arise the forthright effort to refine upon them, to perfect them. So that all this virtue can become a part of your nature. And this is how Dhamma is to be cultivated. So you look at Noble Eightfold Path from right view. The next one is what? After right view is what? Right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood. And what is all this? These are the right understanding leading to all the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Means you avoid all evil and just cultivate all this virtue, goodness, and wholesomeness. And the first two advice of the Buddha is already fulfilled. Understand? Then after that, arise the four right effort to purify your thought process. So that is the purification. Means purify your mind. You start with your thought. You purify your thought. Then you purify your views. Then only you can purify your true mind. Yeah. Because if the mundane mind is there, if delusion is there, if you don't root out the delusion, the latent tendency or the anusaya, your mind cannot be purified. The true mind is originally perfect, beautiful. But because of defilement, it's been screened or clouded. You cannot understand that there is a true mind behind. You cannot even connect to the true mind, the true nature. That's why you don't have the ability to use that mind to meditate, to understand, to see things as they are, to awaken. Without that silent mind, the meditative mind, which is the true mind, you cannot meditate, you cannot awaken, you cannot understand. So this is what the teaching is. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is very powerful. So after the four right effort, the Buddha introduced right mindfulness. Without mindfulness, you cannot start. You cannot cultivate. Everything needs mindfulness. That's why it's the first factor of enlightenment. Then you use it to investigate Dhamma. Second factor of enlightenment, Dhamma Vichaya. Then when the teaching stand up to investigation, your faith becomes unshakable. That it will spur you to cultivate. Your virya become very strong. That's what the third enlightenment factor is all about. Then when virya arise, it will drive you to cultivate the spiritual faculty more and more. That's how sati stabilizes and become unshakable. And when sati stabilizes and become unshakable, you will experience piti, which is a spiritual calmness, spiritual joy, spiritual rapture, spiritual peacefulness of mind with the joy within. And this is the fourth enlightenment factor. Then you continue to relax into it and silent. Your mind will enter sati, stabilize and become pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. That is your true mind. Then you continue to relax into it and silent. It has the stability of samadhi. That's how the sixth enlightenment factor of samadhi come to be. And when samadhi is there, sati, pasati and samadhi can see things as they are, insight into phenomena and awaken to the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self or empty nature. Then this understanding will liberate your mind, give rise to wisdom. And it is this wisdom that brings forth the consummation of the last enlightenment factor, upekkha. This upekkha born of wisdom is the true enlightenment factor, not the one that is in the conditioned state, concentration or absorption. Yeah. So this is how the seventh factor of enlightenment can be fulfilled. And this is what the cultivation is all about. So with this understanding now, you understand why Noble Eightfold Path is the way to act. Where this is the advice of the Buddha. This will bring about pure action, true action, free of the evil roots. And it can bring about enlightenment because it will lead to the end of all suffering. So knowing this, that's why I say you have to cultivate this until it is a part of you, until it's very stable. Then whenever you go into life, under any situation, not necessarily only this that you mentioned, you will know how to act. I think I gave you this example before in the early years when I started working, I think in the year 1979. That time, I already know how to act. That I was mindful. My first job was, I was posted to Penang on the mainland side. I was in charge of a factory, ICP factory. Then they got a project. They put me on the project. I was the project manager. It was a Prai Paraj project. And my hometown is in Alostar. So that time, I have to travel from Alostar to Penang every week. Because I will stay there, and weekend I will come back. Then I borrowed my brother's car. That time he already have a Toyota Corolla, not bad. Quite a nice car. So every week I drove, and that stretch is heavy traffic. You know the old federal road, one lane up, one lane down, not like now highway, three lane, and all those things. So what happened was, as I was approaching Penang, actually about 10 or 15 kilometers before that, there's a lot of traffic, very heavy traffic. Yeah. Then there are lorries and everything, like what you mentioned. So what happened was, I was so mindful. Then I always see my rear mirror and my side mirror, and I'm aware of in front. But at that time, my sati also not bad. So what happened was, as I was driving at the speed of about, I think, 80 kilometers an hour, all of a sudden, I heard an accident in front. Pow. Then there were three cars in front of me. All simultaneously break. I don't have time like you go and think what to do. If I think, I will be one of the victims. So what happened is, immediately, spontaneously, this understanding, because of the mindfulness, is solved. The accident there, the first car behind the accident also hit. Pow. The second one also about to hit. And I know, all of them break, very loud sound. Yeah, I know I can break in time, yeah, I allow a distance. But you know what happened? I saw my rear mirror. There is one joker at the back, traveling very fast. And my mind can sense he cannot break in time. You know what I did? I break. But I sway my car out to the pedestrian side lane. You know what happened, developed? Despite my car not there, he somehow banged the car in front. You realize how heedless he was. But he completely doesn't know what is going on. And how did I act this way? Well, I was alert. And I got no selfishness. I just do what is natural. If I can avoid, I avoid. Of course, in the internet, you all got the other version, isn't it? What is the other version? There is like a very big ravine on your left. Yeah. Then, in front, one pretty lady. So the question is, if you are the driver, what will you do? Who will you hit? The pretty lady, or somebody you know, or the ravine? Yeah. And the answer is what? Hit the brake. Don't hit anybody. And that is the joke. But when true action is not pre-anticipated action, that is memory. That is knowledge. Means you already anticipate and tell yourself, this is how I will act. And I can tell you, every situation is different. Every condition is different. You cannot, like, prepare yourself to act. There is no action at all. Because you are not in the moment to understand the condition, the situation, and what is the best way to act. You don't know. If you are driving a car that the brake, you know, is already not good, you also have to change your strategy. Understand? Then sometimes, instead of braking, you have to make certain drastic move. It also depends on your skill. Understand? If you are not skillful, your car will skid, I tell you. You know Hokkien or not? Yeah? You know Hokkien? A little bit only. When the car lia chua, you know what is that? Yeah? Like become very uncontrolled. Like a snake, understand? Because when you try to avoid something, then you brake. So your wheel turn, and the friction cause your car to skid. Understand? Then you try to balance back, you turn your steering this way, and again that force go that side. And you, out of fear, you try to turn back. That's why this skidding, when the car skid, the tire skid, the friction is not there. And it's very difficult to control a skid car because there are forces everywhere. Then when you brake, you create new force movement again. That's why most of this skid car either turn turtle or hit the guardrail and went over. Yeah. So true action is with wisdom, with understanding, and you will know what to do. Even if there is a frog, then you see at the back no car. So you can have a few choices, understand? But this is not teaching you how to act, understand? It's teaching you how to understand the situation and act according to understanding. That's why I say you will have a few choices. I went through before. Mine was not a frog. The nice, cutie puppy or dog. Yeah. Either I break because I saw at the back no car, then I let the dog cross. Otherwise, if I need to move, I have to follow the dog on the side. Or. You know what is follow the dog or not? I let him act first. After he act, I act on the side. Or. And then, no problem. You know how to cross a busy road or not? You know? Then no need to teach you already. How you cross a busy road? See left, see right then? Run. That is play safe. I say busy road. If you always on the sea and you no car, it may take very long, isn't it? But if there is a lot of car and yet you want to cross, how do you cross? You cannot stop the car. My wife used to do that. I want to turn the time. I help you. Wind out the window. Oh, that lady. People let her spawn. But real one. Yeah, I learn it when I have awareness. I look at the car. Very fast. He come. I look. Then I let him make the decision. If I stand still, he will know how to avoid me. If I try to move, he try to move. I tell you, chances is you should bang on. That's why you stay. Don't move. And my wife cannot understand. Why you stay in the middle? You say, you want to cross, you cross. No. I say, I stay in the middle because I can see. Because it's one way, this way, like outside here. As I do. One way is the front one going up that direction. The other side one is this way down. So you want to cross to the middle. I look at the car here. Because that side, no car. Understand? So if I look, I am mindful, I am aware. If I stay and he don't avoid me, I will avoid him. Understand? I will move very fast. But if most of the time, if I stand, he will avoid me. But he don't know what to do. But if I see him out of control, I will come back. Understand? I will not cross. That's why you act according to the situation, according to understanding. You cannot, what they call, plan your action. Understand? Yeah, that is not the real wisdom. That is not yoniso manasikara. That is theory. That is knowledge. That is memory work. You try to rationalize, reason, and learn to act according to that memory. or somebody teach you. So all this is understanding. When you have the understanding, you will know how to act. So coming back to your question, there are many possibilities, Anasana. If you just, yes.
My question, I understand during that situation, right? Yes. Because we'll, just like the frog, we'll make judgment what we can do, right?
Yeah.
So my question is that if, say, for example, like scenario 3, right? I acted in a way that, I didn't break, so I knocked into the dog. So during that kind of situation, right? What is the karma repercussion, right? Because it's three different scenarios. One is that, I
understand what you are trying to ask, but what I'm trying to teach you is, you're off the mic first. Good. What I'm trying to teach you is, forget about this karma thing, Anasana. If you have this thought, it is going to cause you problem, understand or not? Contemplate when you are when you are alone. You are alone. You can reflect. You can contemplate and develop the stability or understanding. No problem. But if you allow this karma thing to influence you, then what is happened? There is a fear which you didn't see. The hidden fear that you will break karma. Understand? Not during that time. Because you go and think about it. And your fear you cannot see. This is the hidden fear behind. Deep in your subconscious. And this fear will cause you to act wrongly. Because you fear karma. What is there to fear? Karma means I have intention and I did it. There is karma. If you don't have intention, you try your very best to rescue or to avoid. There is no karma. But you got no intention to kill. You just want to avoid the situation. Understand? And act out of understanding that what is best for the many. That is your assumption. Because you don't know how to act. If you know how to act, at that moment, you will know what to do. Understand? I told you, I went through this dog before. The one that I can have time to stop is because at the bank, no car. Understand? Then I will patiently wait for the dog to pass. Then like the TV show you saw, the turtle one. The tortoise or the turtle. You remember the Hotlink advertisement? The driver in the taxi, I think the Indian guy. He said, this turtle so slow, I have to wait for it to pass. Then the lady at the back, Hotlink, don't know what, I forgot. He pressed and wait for the whole job. And there is the advertisement. So the other situation was, at the back got car. So I have to make a decision. I have to act. Because spontaneously I saw, then what I did was, in front, there is another car further away. And I feel I can avoid. So I went out, and I turned back. It finished. I don't even go and worry about it. When I act means I act. I act with understanding. With the understanding of the situation there and then spontaneously. And there is no mental intention behind of how I act. I act with wisdom. What is best at that moment within that condition. And there is no, this lorry at the back, this dog, might as well bang the dog. That is selfish. There is no understanding. Understanding is, if there is condition to avoid, you will avoid. That's why you resolve things amicably. You know what is amicably? Yeah? You know that word, isn't it? Amicably. Huh? You don't know that word. When you solve a situation amicably means nobody get hurt. Understand? No? Everybody doesn't get hurt or disadvantage. Yeah, it's amicable. Means amicable to you, amicable to him, amicable to the dog, everybody. That's why you act according to Noble Eightfold Path, which is without negativity. That's why it can be amicable. You don't have selfish intention. You don't have any intention to harm or to kill or to take advantage of. That is what pure action is all about. If you go to normal number discussion, they will teach you how to act. Yeah. Then you will get into trouble. But they also use memory, use knowledge to act. Understand? They also act according to memory, according to the Dhamma knowledge that they have. And they don't have this understanding of the teaching. That's why the true action is spontaneous action. When you consider through the thought, through the memory, means what? You are making what? You are analyzing, reasoning, and? Yeah, analyzing and reasoning based on what? What is good for you, advantage to you, safe for you. That's why the egoic mind is doing the analysis. And all this analysis, without you knowing, there is either fear behind or selfishness behind. The fear is, I dare not bang into the dog because I scared of karma. Understand not? Yeah?
Yeah.
I understand. You want to know whether how severe that karma is or whether there is any karmic implication. Wait. Whatever it is, I tell you, because you didn't understand what I tried to share with you. That's why that question keep on coming out. And a lot of Buddhists like that type of question. Well, to them, you know what is behind. They want to make sure they don't break the karma. Understand? If let's say I say, oh, severe karma, what happened to you? You were panicking. You produce a severe karma. No? Because I choose to protect myself and I beg. I'm not going to tell you all this. Understand? To me, it's very simple. Whatever action, gone means gone. Why you want to know whether bad karma or good karma? Well, this will create fear in you. If I say, don't worry, you got no mental intention, no karma. Why are you happy? But nature's law is nature's law. Understand not? Whether got karma or no karma, not what I say. Understand not? It's nature's decision. And that one you will also know. Unless you are not a meditator. Because if you are not a meditator, you are not sensitive, you are not aware, the subtle fear, subconscious fear behind, you cannot see. The subtle egoic mind that has the selfishness, you cannot see. And to you is, you think that knowledge is important. You want to use that knowledge to act. Understand not? If I'm equally gullible, I will tell you, yeah, you can choose to bang the dog. Because that lorry at the back, very dangerous. Or, if you want to be compassionate, avoid the dog, break, then take the risk from the lorry. All this answer got no meaning. It's stupid.
I'm also not looking for answer.
Whether you are looking for whatever answer, or even my comment, or whether got karma or no karma, that is not the correct way to understand Dhamma. Dhamma is happen already, finish. You remember? Guang Qing Lao Er Sang? What did he teach you? 做完了, 没事了. Understand? 对也接受, 不对也接受, 无论如何, 都要忍住, 忍住就是波罗蜜. You know Mandarin or not? Then very easy. 做完了,没事了。听完了,没事了。 You understand? Because the past is already gone. Why you want to keep on and create all those unnecessary sankara, mental activity? Because of what? Fear. Fear of committing bad karma. Otherwise the question won't come out. Understand? Behind all this is always fear. Subtle or serious, major subconscious fear. But it's a good question, understand? Because of that, there is condition for us to share, for us to develop the understanding. And on this understanding, you don't have to believe what I said. You find out for yourself. Especially later when you become quite good in your cultivation, after you have progressed. Then you will one day understand yourself. Then you will smile. And you will understand what I try to share with you tonight. Then you will come and thank me. And say, Brother Teo, Sadhu, thank you so much. Now I understand what you mean. Because you already know how to act that way. You understand? And all of your action is pure action because it's no longer about me or I or my loved one. Understand? It's about understanding people, understanding the world, understanding condition, understanding the situation. Like last Tuesday, what did the Buddha say? When this arises, that arises. When this ceases, that ceases. So when situation arises, accident will happen. Yeah. But if you don't know how to act, you can avoid. That's why wisdom can lead to avoidance of all this. But if you don't have understanding and wisdom, if let's say there is karmic conditioning, you cannot run. Without wisdom, that karmic force will take over. And I have seen a lot of this karmic force coming. I like can feel it, and I know it's coming. Yeah. And I can avoid them. Yeah. Because I understand. Even when I was with the Kayamita in the year, I think, 2008 or... I forgot already. We were in Thailand, I think. Yeah. There was this resort, organic farm, I think. Khun Son. The Khun Son's way place, you remember? He got a private kuti on the slope. Yeah? There's a slope that he got this property. He built a lot of motel or like houses to rent to people. Then he stayed in one of his own. Then I think Cindy and Morsit said he invited us all to visit him that evening. So we were all there. Then I was also there. But I came a bit late. Then as I was coming down from the slope up, they were all gathered there already. Then because of my mindfulness, I looked around and I saw. Then there were people. Then there were some rock at the side. Then I supposed to go over and sit on the rock and join them. You know what happened? As I was walking over, because it was a bit dark, that time outside the house, there is no lighting. We only got some torchlight and all those things. So I stepped on a loose stone. Then my body lost balance. I can recollect there was a rock at the back of me. So if I were to fall that direction, my head will hit. Then I can choose to avoid. Then I fall very smoothly. Yeah. But I choose to fall on my back, avoiding the rock, and I roll over. All the Kayamita panic. What happened? I said, nothing, it's okay. I just came out of it because only my t-shirt here a little bit dirty. I said, it's okay, don't worry, because I step on something loose. That's why when you are aware, mindful, you can recall and recollect, then you know where to fall. Then there was one more incident, I think. Out of my office, there was a new pathway that Majelis built. And the funny Majelis contractor, the normal walkway, there is no drain cutting across it one. Well, he just completed it that day. And he cut the drain across the walkway. Finally, they removed it. So I was walking over there to the bank because it was a shortcut. But my problem was I was in a hurry. I have to meet somebody. I have to come back in time. So I was in a hurry. Then what happened was, as I hurry and about to cross, Then I saw that drain. But too late already. Because my leg already in. And I know I will trip and fall. And you know what happened? Within that split second, I know what to do. Well, I was holding a foul. I hold a foul. I purposely let me trip and fall on the foul so that it won't hurt my this one. But what happened is, old already, not so young anymore. So what happened was, the fall was quite hard. My teeth here, you remember? Last time, my lips and my teeth here, remember? Go one time? Yeah? You all cannot remember. Not that many years ago. No. You can see one. My wife would know, I think. It hit my lips and this part. And bleeding. That time was bleeding. And there was a kind soul passed me the tissue. Then after that, I went back to the office. I rested. Then I recovered. That's why you have the understanding and the mindfulness. You can avoid many things. Then sometimes the sign come in different way. And you will know coming already. The conditioning is there. It will happen already. It's just like you have a higher energy. You are on a higher plane. You can see all this conditioning coming. You can feel them sometimes. That's why when I travel on a spiritual trip, my nature can see the sign, can feel them, can understand all this. And even know how to act. And the action is based on understanding, always on understanding. But every situation is different. I cannot say, oh, last time I act like that, my teacher teach me how to act like that, Buddha say like that, then I'm dead. Understand? I'm acting according to a rigid rule. The world is not rigid. That's why I used to tell you all, whatever there is rigid, there is no Dhamma behind. Understand? Dhamma is alive, the living reality, where we are in the existential world, condition arising world, continuously in a state of flux. Everything is moving, changing, evolving. Nothing is standstill. Yeah. Even this table, your body, the cells, every moment is vibrating non-stop with the atoms, the electron, everything. It's in a state of flux. Although we see solid, but under microscope, a lot of activity and vibration down there. Where they have energy, heat, and other things. The four elements, they are constantly evolving, interchanging. So all this, with mindfulness and with wisdom and understanding, you will know how to act. That's why when you act with wisdom, understanding, it's so different. That's why I have been trying to share this with you all for so many years. Acting according to memory is not acting at all. Memory is all your views, opinion, belief system, conditioning, your fear, your phobia, your selfishness, your delusion, and all these things. If you act according to that, you're acting out of fear, selfishness, your views, your opinion. You are not using wisdom to act. You are not using understanding to act. You act out of insecurity, phobia, fear, selfishness, delusion, all those things. And acting according to memory is not acting at all. That is not the way to act. So true action is born of understanding, wisdom, and is spontaneous within the moment. No need to go through thinking. Thinking is a consideration. And when the egoic mind consider, what can come out of the egoic mind? Eh? Selfishness, understand? You always want to protect yourself. Advantage to you. Even when you want to avoid the dog, it's still selfish, understand? Because you're scared of having bad karma, understand? And that is the behind, the selfishness of having this bad karma. That's why I say, I cannot bang. Understand? So, when you think of karma without understanding, you will have this problem. Because fear will arise. Where you scared, you break that karma. And this is exactly like what I say, I think, many times. If you go to retreat, do you realize a lot of retreat participants, instead of cultivating according to what the Buddha teach you on like renewing your five precepts and how to keep your five precepts, they didn't understand the Buddha's word and teaching, and precept become a burden to them. You came across such thing in a retreat. You know what they will tell you, especially towards the later part of the retreat. They will come. Many of these participants last time during the early, they come and tell me. They will say, you got such problem or not? I realize I got a lot of dirty thought now. I got a lot of craving now. Then one of them will say, I accidentally stepped on that ant, that cockroach. And they hold this as remorse in their brain, and memory, and spoil the whole meditation. What is precept? Precept are training rules to train you in mindfulness, understand? Instead of using precept to train you, we chant panatipata veramani sikha padang samadhi yami, means what? I undertake the training rule to abstain from killing and causing harm to fellow. So I only have to be mindful of this. So it trained me in mindfulness, understand? If after I accidentally step on an ant, I become remorseful, is that training yourself to be mindful and to avoid all this? You lost yourself there because you remorse over it. I kill. Then I got this lustful thought. Then they will tell you, I got this craving. I think of char kway teow already before the retreat ends. I already planned what I want to do immediately after the retreat. So he said, that craving, that desire, he said, very, very difficult, tormenting me. This is not meditation. This is attachment. This is fear, worry, anxiety, clinging on to all this remorse. And what is wrong thought? What did the Buddha say? Wrong thought. What is wrong thought? Thought that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And I make it simpler for you. Wrong thoughts are thoughts that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your remorse, and all this negativity. These are all wrong thoughts. And under Sabbasava Sutta, the orange color book, remember? The Buddha said, what is wrong thought? When you think that wrong thought, what happened? The unarisen asava arise, means the defilement. The arisen proliferate, become more. So when you step on an end, remorse, when you ask question about karma, then you fear, what is all this? This is our wrong thought, anasana. Give rise to more asava, mental defilement. The arisen one become intensified. Right thought means what? Wholesome thought that brings about joy, understanding, happiness, peacefulness, quietness, harmony. These are our right thought. Means without the evil roots. Wholesome thought. Thought of generosity, contentment, gratitude, respect, sincerity, gentleness, pleasantness, goodness, kindness. All these are right thought. No negativity behind. It brings about peace, joy, understanding, harmony. That's why all the right thought, right speech, right action, they are very beautiful when you understand. And this is what Dhamma is all about. Understanding what constitutes evil and understanding what constitutes right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then, right effort to cultivate them, to abandon the wrong thought, the evil thought, And this is what the cultivation is. And a lot of people never go into this cultivation. They didn't even want to find out what is greed, hatred, and delusion. To them, they are like parents. Three evil root, greed, hatred, and delusion. Is that the Dhamma cultivation? No. There is theory. What constitutes greed? You don't know. All of your attachments, selfishness, craving, lustfulness, desire, like and dislike, they are all the evil roots of greed and hatred. That's why when you understand this, then you understand how to be mindful of them. Then you realize greed is not just greediness. All of your craving, your desire, your attachment, your clinging, your grasping, the way you hold on to things when you want things your way, these are all greed. All of the selfish intention to take advantage of people, for me or not for me, that decision, that analysis that you do, all this is part of greed, understand? So not until you understand the full scope of the evil root, you cannot cultivate the mindfulness of this evil root, and you cannot arise the right effort to abandon them. You can't even see them. Especially the subtle greed, the subtle fear, the subtle anxiety, phobia, especially unhappiness. Understand? Do you know when you are unhappy? Maybe the major one you will know, understand? Like your fear, your anxiety, something go wrong with you, very severe. That one you will know. And something bothering you, you know you are unhappy. But the slight, like and dislike, every day you, every moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought, that slight, very subtle, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, you cannot see, I tell you. But if you have that understanding, that wisdom and the mind, every moment when it arises, you will know. Then that's how you purify. When you are so sensitive, then you cannot do all those things. It's inwardly in the mind. The mind, inside, cannot do all these things anymore. But normal living beings cannot. They have to get very, very emotional. Then only they can feel that there is suffering. Understand? And very miserable, unhappy, only know, wow, this is suffering, really suffering. And most of them still say, what, no? That guy la did this to me, what can I do? Oh, still justify. But to a cultivator, I tell you, the slightest uncomfortable feeling or movement inside, you are so sensitive, you know, you can feel it, you know. And you can never allow it to happen, understand? It's your form and mind. Life is so beautiful, so meaningful. Where got time to become unhappy, understand? But human beings are very funny, you know. Keep on reacting to life, become miserable and unhappy, and every day scold people, do all these funny things to people, creating karmic negativity and all those things. Bad mouthing, backbiting, then frivolous talk, heedless living, every now and then getting emotional, unhappy, having a lot of dislike. And seldom they are happy. Very seldom you see them with a happy moment. Very seldom you can see them in joy, in peacefulness, in the state of tranquility, stillness. Peace is very difficult to come by for most people. And this is why the world has got so much suffering. And suffering is a universal characteristic because it's inherent in every phenomenon. There is suffering in every phenomenon. So suffering is a very severe universal characteristic, and you have to cultivate until you can have the sensitivity to feel. And my teacher used to tell me, he said, if you can feel the suffering of nature, especially the plants, fellow living beings, even the insects, all the non-human and all those things. If you are sensitive, you can feel. Then you can radiate this love, this metta. Because you can understand, you can feel for the living being. You can feel for all these beings. Even the plant, they also have their consciousness, although they are very, very low in their evolution. They are mostly not so complicated. Yeah, they are not like us with that type of brain, with that type of memory, with that type of consciousness. Our human consciousness is really, really very, very complicated. If you take care of it, train it, it can become enlightened being or even Sammasambuddha. If you don't take care of it, you can be really, really vicious and evil, and you can fall to the deepest hell. That is what the mind is all about. That's why not easy to understand the mind, and not easy to train the mind to develop all this understanding. That's why the Buddha has to come to share this teaching. Otherwise, living being will suffer. It's not easy. Okay? So, no need to go through your question. By now, you should know how to act. Anyway, we thank me for the good condition. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Wow, it saved me a lot of time. No need to share. So we try to finish off the dependent origination so that Mimi and the son next Tuesday can start from the other topic. Okay, page 47. That day we finished the first falling. So I explained to you all the book version, which is over the three period of life. Then if you go and read my book, Paticca Samuppada, Dependent Origin, you will understand. The actual version is not this. The actual version of dependent origination is every moment, every instant, it will arise. Sometimes it doesn't complete the 12 link. And the most powerful link is the first one. First one is what? Avijja Paccaya Sankhara. What is avijja? Ignorant. Depend on ignorant, what happened? What happened? Sankhara arises. And what is sankhara? Mental activity. Which is your what? All of your thinking, your planning, your scheming, or whatever that your mind can do. That's why it's the content of consciousness. That is what sankhara is all about, including your feeling and perception, mental activity, mental states, and all those things, the movement inside there. But the book explains it differently, because they cannot explain the dependent origination within the moment. So what do? They introduce the second link as karmic volition. Because of ignorance, when you die, there is karmic volition. Understand? Then dependent on karmic volition, it conditions rebirth consciousness. That's why the third one becomes relinking or rebirth consciousness. Then dependent on rebirth consciousness, arise the form and mind, which is the human being, which is born. So this is how they explain. But the actual happening is not like that, like what I explained to you all. Dependent on ignorance arise mental activity. The reason being, when you don't understand something, wanting to know, wanting to experience, what do? You go and think about it, isn't it? After you think, what happened? What is thinking? Okay, thinking is sankhara. Yeah, your mind is an organ. When you think, what happens? You make contact with that mind, isn't it? Like the physics experiment, when you make contact with the mind, what happens? Upon contact, what happens? Mental consciousness arises. Like you make contact with the eye, seeing consciousness arise. That's why that is sankhara, mental activity. So the Buddha say, because you are deluded, you have self-delusion, you have ignorance. So you think. When you think, you make contact. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara, that's sankhara paccaya vijnanang. There is mental consciousness. Understand? Then you input the content of consciousness, your like and dislike and all those things. Then the five aggregate of form and mind arise. That's what namarupa is. There is a form link. And they cannot see this because they don't meditate until this level of understanding. That's why they cannot explain it except through the traditional commentary type of three lifetime explanation. And the Buddha say, because of this five mental aggregate of form and mind, dependent on it, there must be sense bases. Otherwise, it cannot arise. That's why the sixth sense door, the sixth sense bases come about. So mind door also has its sense bases that give rise to mind consciousness. Then the rest is very easy, isn't it? Dependent on the sense bases, contact will arise. And upon contact, what happened? They tell you in the book, dependent on contact, what arise? Pasat paccaya. Vedana, feeling arise. But do you think only feeling arise? If you meditate, you will know. Not only feeling arise. The whole of the content of consciousness arise. That's why the seven universes, spontaneously they are there. Where these are common to all consciousness. That's why when you have mindfulness, you can be at the moment of contact, at the moment of feeling, at the moment of perception, at the moment of mental activity, the movement. Your mindfulness can be there. And it can stop there. Even at the moment of consciousness. It can stay there. Of course, no sound. When you meditate, when you have the daily mindfulness so stable, you can be at every moment of this thing. So what happened is, immediately after the first feeling, let's have a quick one. Avijja paccaya sankhara. Then sankhara paccaya vijnanang. So this is mental consciousness. Vijnanang. Then vijnanang paccaya nama rupang. Then nama rupang paccaya salayatana, sense basis. Salayatana, sense basis. Then after that, contact. Contact. Pasat, which is contact. Then contact condition, they say feeling. Understand? Feeling. Or vedana. But do you know what happened? Upon contact at this point, avijja, when paccaya sankhara, that thinking, there is also contact. Understand? There is also contact here. Ignorant contact. Because before you are enlightened, there is ignorance, avijja. So this ignorant contact is also there. Because when you think, you make contact with the mind. Understand? So this ignorant contact is in the mind. And this one moves very fast. Like that day at the Thursday class earlier on. You remember? Brother Pang? He asked that question. He said, Bertio, I realize this one very fast. Straight away, feeling, condition, craving. I cannot do anything. I said, yes. Well, you don't have the stability of mindfulness. Because he tried it. That's why he cannot follow all this. He said, this link, impossible to see. We're straight away, feeling, craving. Simultaneously, when there is contact, at this point, ignorant contact already there. Then when conscious arise, you can be at the moment of consciousness. That's why the Buddha said, in the seeing, is only the seeing consciousness. No one to see at that point. Understand? It's just the consciousness, vijnana. This is the pure consciousness. consciousness, the pure seeing, the direct seeing. The moment you input content, nama rupang, the five aggregate form and mind arise. And this is where all your movement inside there, like and dislike, views, opinion, conditioning. And this one comes from memory. That's why this content depends on the user. If the user of thought is deluded, the content is all deluded. That's why you don't try to cut a feeling. Because when you have ignorance without wisdom, you cannot cut. Immediately you are conditioned craving. So this whole dependent origination, oh, you have to finish already. It's easy to understand when you have developed the meditative understanding. And I can share this with you because during the early years when I meditate, I realized this is what is happening every moment, every instant. And sometimes it didn't end because when you have the understanding, you need so manasikara, that's why you can stay at the moment of contact and moment of feeling. And feeling will become pure feeling. It's not upadana khandas. Understand? The feeling will not be conditioned into craving. And when there is craving, dependent on craving, it conditions grasping. So all these are there. Craving is tanha. Tanha pachya upadhan, upadana. Then upadana pachya bhavo. Bhavo is becoming. You become that thing. Then becoming, condition, birth. You take birth. You are born into it. That craving is a desire. Understand? Then when that desire becomes very strong, it becomes grasping. Means you already have very strong desire. You grasp at that thing. You want to possess that thing or have that thing. You become. Then after that, you take birth. Means transgression. You are born into it. You have become that lustful person. That's what transgression is. That's why from a thought, it can become craving, grasping, desire, very strong desire until you become that thing. Then you are born into it. Means transgression. That's how people can rape and cause all those karmic negativity. Well, transgression means you act out of it, no more at the thought level. That craving, that desire, that lustfulness force you to act. So transgression is the action. That's why you are born into it. And dependent on birth arise the whole mass of suffering. That's why you say lead to old age, sickness and death, sorrow and lamentation, grief and despair and all those things. Thus does this whole mass of suffering originate. Thereupon the exalted one, knowing the meaning of this, uttered at that time this, how to pronounce this word? Pain. Pain of joy. P-A-E-A-N. Who know how to pronounce? Yun Chan, how to pronounce? E-A-N. Pain. Pain, huh? Oh, okay, thank you. This pain of joy, He said, when indeed the truth becomes manifest out to the strenuous meditative brahmana, then do all his doubt vanish away, since he knows the truth together with its causes. That's why he penetrated the dependent origination. Then in the middle watch of the night, the exalted one thoroughly reflected on the dependent origination, dependent arising in reverse order. Thus, when this condition does not exist, this effect is not. With the cessation of this cause, the effect ceases. That's why the Paticca-samuppada is developed over two cycles, the arising cycle and the cessation cycle. So we stop here. We stop here. Then we let Mimi and the son continue. After that, they will try their best to share with you. Then after that, we got the second week, the third week, the fourth week, and the fifth week. Yeah. So from now onward, it's going to become more and more interesting. Huh? The teaching will become more and more interesting. Yeah. Yeah, after that, most of it is on the Dhamma. And later on, when we come to the section on karma, all the questions that Mei Xiang asked just now is inside there. And not only inside there, in the teaching, there's a lot more detail. A lot more detail. A lot of type of karma. They got destructive karma. And many type of karma. You go by and read, you will know. And all this is in the teaching. And karma, they also define it in a very interesting way, because during the time of the Buddha, it was a topic where the Hindu also have, and they believe it in their own way, because their teaching is slightly different. They base it on a Atman, ultimate self, the super self, the higher self. Whereas the Buddha say there is no such thing. Everything is anatta, non-self. Karma only pertain to this form and mind. There is no such thing as a being transmigrating, understand? That's why in the, what they call, Tibetan teaching, they talk about reincarnation, isn't it? You heard of this word, right? Means after you die, there is a soul that reincarnate, take another birth, and go into that body. The Buddha said no such thing. There is a rebirth consciousness born out of ignorance. Then after that, law of karma take over. You are born of air to eat condition supported by, and you are what you are. Then from that single consciousness, which is the relinking consciousness or rebirth consciousness, that form and mind will arise again, evolve again. This is how karma can be developed and understood. So it's all inside there. There? Page 353, I think. What is karma? Karma and vipaka. Page 352, 353, they are all there. I think, what is karma? Chapter 19, page 348. So may you want to know? You go and read. Then volition is karma. It is chitena or volition that I call karma, the Buddha say. Chitena is mental intention, mental volition. So everything need mental volition. That's why intention to kill. Otherwise there is no karma. So this is there. Okay, we end here. So Mimi and Chong Lim, next Tuesday. So prepare a bit, then we can have you sit here, both of you, then we can share it. It will be more interesting. Then have it as a discussion. You can present, then got any question, you try to answer, then we will share all this. It is going to be very interesting. Then if you want to, sometimes we can even do away the meditation so that we got more time to immediately start on all this, see how it goes. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then we can have our sharing of the food. Akka satta cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakkhantu loka sasana. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to all the great beings, then all the worthy ones too. Then we end.